The Haynes Senior Village proposes a deal with the borough to ease its financial strain. And the public is asked to weigh in during Haynes Waterfront Trail meetings next week. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Haynes Senior Village is worried about its future. The nonprofit housing complex is straining under the weight of two mortgages, one of which fell under the radar until recently. The village proposed a solution to its financial problems this month. They're asking the Haynes Borough for a $350,000 low-interest loan. This is a story about two oversights. One has to do with the senior village's second mortgage.
It's kind of like when you're a kid playing the game of telephone, and it doesn't necessarily 100% of the information make its way through a 20-year period.
Valerie McCandless is the village manager. There have been many managers and boards overseeing the village through its 20-year history. Board treasurer Bob Atkins says the managers often had 10-hour-a-week contracts at relatively low pay.
So some things fell by the wayside, and that particular second mortgage, the payment depended on the village showing a profit, which as a nonprofit it rarely does, and so it just slipped away from people's attention. And when we got the new manager, when Valerie took over, she was going through the files.
And she discovered the details of the second mortgage at the end of 2015. As Atkins said, it required payments based on the village's profit. Since the village rarely makes a profit, there had only been a few payments. But what many didn't realize is that the village's sparse income didn't excuse it from paying the rest of the mortgage. A balloon payment of $185,000 would be due in 2026. McCandless describes her reaction.
Shock and distress, because that's a big debt. It's a big debt for anyone to have. And when you work with people who live on a fixed income, you understand exactly what that's going to mean to them. And how do you solve that?
The village started raising money, selling chocolate bars and holding fundraisers. But they knew that candy bar profits would not cover the entire debt. The village had been chipping away at the first mortgage, which now stands at $127,000. But how could they afford this additional cost?
So that's the reason that we're asking the borough to loan us $350,000 so that we can pay off both mortgages and only have the one payment to the borough for 10 years.
In their case to the borough, the village brought up another past oversight. For years, the borough charged the village property tax, even though as a nonprofit, it's tax exempt. In 2006, the borough discovered the mistake. The village had paid about $60,000 in property taxes.
The borough only repaid the village approximately half of that. The borough said, we don't have any more money at the time. And the village said, we don't need the money right now. Both of which were not correct.
Atkins went before the borough assembly this month to explain the situation.
The borough is not anxious to repay $30,000 plus interest over a period of 20 years, and I don't blame them. On the other hand, we have two mortgages to pay.
He says if the borough were to loan the village the money, both parties would benefit. The borough would earn interest, and the village would have manageable monthly payments. The $350,000 would pay off both mortgages and fund a remodel needed in one of the village's apartments. If the borough doesn't agree to the loan, Adkins says the village may need to refinance its second mortgage or raise rents for its 15 residents, many of whom live on fixed incomes. McCandless says this is about protecting quality of life for the growing number of senior citizens in Haynes.
If this village remains strong, if we can financially meet our debts, we can then look towards considering to explore whether the community wanted to have more senior housing. because having seniors in your community strengthens the community.
McCandless and Adkins may soon get an indication of whether the Assembly agrees with the plan. The Assembly's Finance Committee meets Thursday at 6:30 p.m. to discuss the loan proposal. A Juneau-based design company is moving ahead with plans for a waterfront trail in Haines, and they're asking for the public's help. As KHNS's Abby Collins reports, the first of several community meetings about the project will be held next week.
Community involvement has been a key part of the Portage Cove Interpretive Trail project from the start. Next week, residents will have several opportunities to work with the design team as drawings begin to take shape.
What are the great stories about Haines?
Chris Myrtle is a landscape architect at the Juneau-based company Corvus Design. He's taking the lead on the waterfront trail project. He says the plan will be developed with the public in Haines.
Haines has some great stories, whether it be its culture, its heritage, and its history. And what we're looking for is opportunities to tie those into the trail alignment and create opportunities along the trail that helps tell the story of Haines.
Corvus was contracted for the conceptual design phase of the Interpretive Trail and Harbor Park project in November. Now they're asking for the public's help to create those designs. The planning for the trail is happening at the same time that the first phase of the small boat harbor expansion moves toward construction. The two projects will likely tie into each other, but it's unclear to what degree they'll overlap. The first of five public meetings are set for next week in Haines.
What we're looking for the first public meeting is to get the community input on how to best create a interpretive trail and park that meets the needs of the community.
That first meeting will be held Monday, January 23rd at 6:30 p.m. at the Chilcat Center. Myrtle says they're looking to hear from residents about what is important to this community. And logistically, they want to know where the trail needs to go.
What are the areas that the trail needs to go through and connect in terms of other destinations along the waterfront, making connections into downtown, the fort, and how do we really create a trail that supports and ties into the greater community?
The borough's request for proposal for the project shows a possible trail stretching from Picture Point to the Portage Cove Campground. After that first meeting, there will be open studio sessions from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday at the public library. Residents can view the plans as they progress and give their input.
We're going to be doing design in the community, and we really want to engage the community, invite people to come down and participate in the process. Help us with the design, help us with the layout, help us understand and tell the great stories of Haines.
The drawings generated during those sessions will be presented at another public meeting on Wednesday. That's where they'll present draft plans. That meeting will be held at 6:30 p.m. at the Chilcat Center. Corvus has worked on similar projects in the region in recent years. They were part of the design team for the Sitka Seawalk installed 2 years ago.
Working with the community, they really want to tie in the Russian and Klinkit culture into the waterfront trail. And for the Seawalk, what we utilized is a basket weave pattern, a Klinkit basket weave pattern that represents water or tide line. And that is a paving pattern that runs along the entire length of the Sitka Seawalk.
They also worked on the Skagway Pullen Creek Streamwalk. This will not be the only opportunity for public comment. Myrtle says the design team will be back in Haines to work with the community and refine the plan as it moves forward. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
The Haines Code Review Commission wants direction on where to start work. There are hundreds of pages of borough code, and they're wondering where to begin. The commission met for the first time Tuesday evening. They appointed Mike Danker as chair, Jerry Lapp as vice chair, and Carol Ann Wooten as secretary. The other committee members are Don Turner Jr., Deborah Vogt, CJ Jones, and Daniel Humphrey. The Assembly formed the Code Commission because of concerns over the minor offenses ordinance. The ordinance spotlighted the large number of small violations that are part of local code. Bill McCord was in the audience at Tuesday's meeting. He suggested the commission start working from the code referenced in the minor offenses list.
In light of where all of this came from, and that was a reaction to the minor offenses that might be a possibly fruitful area to start.
Chairman Danker suggested the committee ask the assembly for direction. The committee asked its assembly liaison, Margaret Friedenauer, to bring up the matter at next week's meeting. The Code Commission set its next meeting for February 2nd. At that time, they plan to establish their priorities. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.